three more. We can very smart. So I just think, okay, I'll be with you.
We're together.
I'm Chris Downey on the line.
Yeah, we're here.
I have an FTP address. It may be,
Once again, last statistics, one for new guys.
Abusive grows that were taking place in Island Mountain. Island Mountain, if you're not aware of the geography, is a general point where Mendocino and Trinity and Humboldt join. It's an area which is very remote, probably an hour from the closest paved road. It's off the grid for many situations, and I'm not proud of this, but I'll tell you that law enforcement hasn't paid as much attention to Island Mountain as we have other areas where there has been abusive growing. So the three sheriffs, we decided to start our investigation to find out if these complaints were justified. And so we, of course, started with aerial surveillance, and then we talked to locals in the area. And what we found was this was the most abusive area of our three counties where marijuana was being grown. I think that some of the pictures that you'll see around here certainly show boldness that some of the growers had. This site is in Humboldt County, and the road you see is Bell Springs Road. It's literally right on the road. And from once you got on the ridge, you would easily be able to see hoop-type greenhouses. Hoop greenhouses are generally about 100 feet long, and they can hold 300 marijuana plants each. So the investigation started, and it was named, as you can see, Operation Emerald Tri-County. And this was not a federal problem, this was a local problem. The three local sheriffs worked with the state Fish and Wildlife. We're very happy that Fish and Wildlife partnered with us for the purpose of looking at the environmental issues, the water issues, and any breaches of the law that were occurring in the Island Mountain area. Every time our investigators flew the area or started digging a little deeper, we realized this problem was worse than we had ever realized. We all knew that there was a growing problem in Island Mountain, but it was one of these situations where we had said, yeah, well, we'll get to it next year, we'll get to it next year. And so this year was the next year. And our operation was led by a Mendocino Sheriff's Office sergeant who was tasked with the duties of putting the logistics together as well as coordinating the efforts so we were going to be able to go up and enforce the law and work with Fish and Wildlife on some of the egregious environmental issues. The statistic sheet that, if you're here, you have this, and this will be posted on the Sheriff's Office website later, shows that a total, as you can see, is 86,000. I know you're right. 86,578 marijuana plants were eradicated in the three counties in a four-day period. These eradications were not, these plants were not seedlings, they were not easy plants. These plants were adult plants that were either at hoop houses or freestanding outside buildings. A lot of the search warrants that were served, which are denoted on the map in front, were at residences, and the other eradications were done, which were signified by some triangles up here you'll be able to see, were what the courts have deemed open field searches. In other words, not connected directly to a residence, but it's an open field search. The sheriff's offices did not counter extensive resistance. We did have some unfortunate situations this week on Wednesday of this week, as our group was assisting Trinity County with a search warrant for the dig there. So I think it was a Trinity County search warrant. A bulldozer had gone in several hours before our investigators were traveling there and had literally destroyed the road with a bulldozer, creating a delay. But our deputies got out with their shovels and they spent about 20 minutes in filling a 2-foot hole. You can see it. It's in the back of the picture. That we can, that delayed us. Now, when we got, she was talking about this specific garden, we got there, the garden had been eradicated, but our deputies found the plants, which had been secreted into the nearby forest, and that's where they were located. When I say that we work with Fish and Wildlife, I'm going to clearly say this. If Fish and Wildlife had not partnered with us at the very beginning and had understood the environmental damage that all three counties were suffering from, I don't know if we would have followed through with everything here. Well, as I said, once we started looking at some of the violations, we realized this was the most egregious environmental situation in all three counties. So to give you an idea,
And I want you to think about this, because I've certainly been aware of some of the blogging and the writing that we've been having.
Sorry about that.
That we've been seeing throughout this week. We've had people question whether or not there were true environmental situations occurring, or was law enforcement just using the environmental statement as a ruse to go up and enforce the law. And I hope that you can see by the pictures, and some of you who are here have the DVD or the CDs that have pictures, I hope you can clearly see that these are not minor or casual or accidental violations. The fact that we have 86,000 marijuana plants growing in the area where we're in the fourth year of the drought, if you really and truly look at the average of 6 gallons per plant, we're looking at well over 500,000, half a million gallons of water per day, just to water the plants that were eradicated. I know that some people are making allegations that a 50,000-gallon water tank was emptied, which we're looking forward to a victim of this reporting it to the sheriff's office, because there will be an investigation. We don't have a victim yet. But if, in fact, that's true, which I don't believe it is, that 50,000 gallons would represent 12% of the water needed to water the marijuana plants that we eradicated this week. So I certainly don't see it as something that is going to it's a fly in the ointment. It's they're asking us to pay attention to the water, which we don't believe happened. But in fact, over 500,000 gallons a day was being used to water these marijuana plants. I'd like to ask Duke from California Fish and Wildlife come up and discuss some of the environmental situations that he's dealt with. You want to stay up here?
Thank you all for being here. My name is Chris Hughes. I'm a lieutenant out of Sacramento headquarters, the Department of Fish and Wildlife. I was asked to go out being kind of eyes from a PIO, public information officer aspect of what was occurring and what our officers and biologists were seeing out there, as well as take photographic and video documentation of the violations pertaining to fish and wildlife and environmental issues. I wanted to start with a press conversation that our chief of police, Dave Best, had with the media contact, just because he gives a well-stated statement of why Fish and Wildlife is involved in this type of activity. So the trustee agency of the state's Fish and Wildlife Resources, CDFW, aims to prevent, assess, and remediate environmental damage from marijuana cultivation sites. Goes on to say, nearly all of the marijuana cultivation in drought-stricken watersheds within the state is occurring without regard to other applicable laws and regulations, because cultivators do not readily apply for the permits intended to protect wildlife quality and fish and wildlife resources. So that's kind of our overview for why we're involved. Now, specifically to this operation, our involvement was as peace officers to provide allied assistance for law enforcement investigations of unlawful cultivation. And
not only
in addition, our primary focus out there, as stated by the chief, was to investigate resource violations, stream bed alterations, diversion of waterways, diversions of creeks, unlawful ponds, unlawful dams, unlawful reservoirs, tapping of springs. And I'll say, from the 3 days I was out there, we saw an abundance of that activity. I received an email earlier today of an overview from the biologist and our lieutenant for our wet team, which to show our dedication to this type of operation. In the last year, the Department of Fish and Wildlife started a specialized team called WET, acronym WET for Watershed Enforcement Team. And it particularly pertains to watershed enforcement and protection where marijuana cultivation is involved. So the statistics I got from them is there were a total of 97 violations, with 55 of which directly pertaining to stream bed alteration that were seen during this operation. My time out there, I saw a wide spectrum of violations. Some minimal, some where it looked as though there was an attempt to not directly go in with large equipment and just do whatever needed to get done to get the plants in the ground and to tap in the waterways. But on the other end of the spectrum, I saw areas that were some of the most devastated areas I'd ever seen, where clearly the people using the equipment probably didn't even have experience with using the equipment they were on, and just pushed large amounts of debris and soil and loose soil into directly into creeks, unlawful grading on a large scale, half-acre plus pads that were immediately adjacent to creeks and streams, where the slough for the leveling had been pushed directly into the creeks and streams, causing diversions and dams of the streams. And then the holding tanks and the ponds. You see in the phone picture, I lost track back behind me. That wasn't uncommon. I mean, the amount of gallons of water in the large tanks that were out there was unreal. The amount of total emphasis on that, on the entire geographic area, as the sheriff described it, long, I'm guessing 12 mile at least stretch that we probably covered, that was directly above the Eel River, which times that I went down to the Eel River was hardly flowing. The water was stagnant and warm, and it was full of moss, or I'm sorry, algae. Why that's important is because that creates an entire cycle as far as environmental. So the water that would be running off of this hill would not only keep the water cooler down in the Eel River, but it would also allow a greater amount of water to reach the river, which would increase the flow. Without that water going in there, it creates a complete devastation to the environment. So you don't have flow, as less flow causes temperatures to rise, which is a good element for the algae to grow and bloom. But in addition to when the water does flow, the water is flowing off of this hillside in rain season, and it's going down to the river, taking high amounts of fertilizers and nitrogens down to the river, which there further increases the algae blooms. So from fish and wildlife aspect on this operation, the big emphasis was river blow, the watershed, but the water we often think of fish, but the big picture is that all living things need that water. And while I was out there, I saw numerous deer on the hillside, probably not as many as I should have seen, because with the amount of activity that you're getting out there, you're getting disruption in the normal wildlife activity. You have tractors and things going, folks going all night long. But it's a broad spectrum of environmental damage that's occurring there. And just, again, to go back to what I started to mention about the sheriff's emphasis, that 12-mile stretch, what I was witnessing, it wasn't checkerboard areas where this stuff was occurring. The significance to that area and why I can understand the sheriff's department's interest in focusing on this island mountain stretch is that nearly every parcel from one end to the other that had these type of operations occurring on it. In conclusion, I want to thank the sheriff's office. He gave a great introduction, and I have limited time on at the department. I've been on a little over 7 years. I've been involved with marijuana eradication my entire 7 years, and it was really refreshing to go out on this operation with multiple local agencies, sheriff's departments, and hear a renewed importance and emphasis from local agencies outside of Fish and Wildlife that are actually talking and speaking to the environment. I mean, it's apparent in the press release. The main it was refreshing to see that there is an emphasis and a focus on the environment in this operation. That's great.
Thank you, Chris. I do want to cover a couple of things. On Monday, District Attorney Eister and I took a trip to Jim Wood to the Island Mountain area. We drove him there. He was able to see firsthand some of the environmental issues that we're talking about now. This gentleman spent 12 hours with us, and he was able to get a lot of information to take straight to Sacramento. And I know there's also
question that the sheriff's offices eradicated 25 plant growths. And I want to be very careful about how we explain why we did that. The 25 plant growths that we eradicated were actually connected by the same water lines. So it would be one piece of property, a 25 plant grow would be on the hillside, the same water line would continue down to another 25 plant grow that would continue to another 25 plant grow. So this was an attempt to try to fool law enforcement as we're just complying with Mendocino County's 9.31, and that wasn't exactly the case because we are actually smarter than that. We figured that one out. And I do want to talk about September. September is a very important month for us. In September, we're going to go back to Island Mountain. I have every reason to believe that the growing will continue and that we're going to see a continuous of the water stolen from the river, directly from the river, to fund people's lifestyles, which is not the intent of Proposition 215. So with that, I certainly thank you for being here. We'll take questions from the audience first and then to the phone. And if we ask you, if you ask a question, we answer it, we're going to move on to the next person.
So in Humboldt County, we know from the sheriff's office there that 7 parcels were served and cannabis eradicated. Could you give us numbers of parcels in Mendocino and in Trinity?
Right. The specific number of served forms in Mendocino, I cannot speak for Trinity. I think Sheriff Haney is on the phone. Are you there, Bruce?
Yeah, Sheriff Allman. Bruce Haney here, Trinity County Sheriff. I'd just like to say that I want to thank Sheriff Allman for spearheading this. This has been an area that has been of constant concern, and these individuals involved in commercial marijuana production picked areas like Island Mountain because of the limited law enforcement resources and in the remote area. But we served four search warrants in Trinity County, and approximately 14,000 plants were eradicated. And to date, we have one case that's been filed, and there should be more pending with the district attorney's office in Trinity County.
Okay, and Sheriff Downey from Humboldt, are you there, Mike?
Yes, I am.
You have the floor.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, we, like the one person indicated, we served 7 search warrants over the course of those 4 days, and approximately 40 separate large greenhouses. You know, we share the same concerns and issues as Sheriff Allman stated as far as water deprivation and being and our watershed being drawn down to levels we've never seen before. You know, there was a question about environmental impact. I have numerous photos from my county as to the impact to our environment. And I think I just need to remind people of one thing. You want to talk about environmental impact and the person from Fish and Wildlife, surely I talked about that as I have a picture of one of our deputies standing on a water bladder that's about 100 feet by 100 feet. We have no idea how many gallons are in there. He stated that when he got up on top of that bladder, he felt that if it burst, he'd probably drown. I mean, that's the kind of water being diverted from our streams and rivers, and this is an ongoing concern. And if you want to talk environmental damage, I think that is a great indicator of the environmental damage being done.
Okay, Mendocino had 9 search warrants.
Yes, Domain News Team 3. How many individuals did you arrest or encounter through this process?
Mendocino arrested 3. I think Sheriff Haney said, I believe 1. And I'm not, Mike, how many were Humboldt County?
We arrested 0, and I think that's indicative of the issue. We've heard complaints from the Island Mountain area in Humboldt County that they felt that they were doing this in a legal manner, following county ordinances and agreements. And if that was the case, I don't understand why we didn't encounter anyone to plead their case. We are going to continue with our investigations on those separate search warrants and parcels to see if we can develop any suspects in the case and go forward with prosecution.
And I do want to say that Mendocino was in 4 very large gardens with hoop houses connected to houses. We didn't have a search warrant for those, and those gardens were not eradicated at that point, but the investigation is continuing on with that. Other questions in the room? Adrian?
What was the involvement of the National Guard?
National Guard provided a pickup truck and 5 National Guard personnel. 3 of the personnel worked with Mendocino County, Humboldt County. They were basically a labor. There was no aerial support. They were basically labor.
How many was it again?
Total of five. 3-4 Mendocino, 2-4 Humboldt.
I saw more than two in the Humboldt, working with the Humboldt Sheriff's Department.
Yeah, one day we had five. Mendocino, this is Sheriff Downey again. There was one day that Mendocino didn't need the three that they had, and they came into Humboldt County and worked with my team one day.
The identities of the arrest, I know they've been on our booking log. I don't have that information right now. They were all arrested on the same day, correct?
I know there's one day.
Okay, so two were arrested on Monday, one was arrested on Tuesday.
What charge?
11-3-58-59, health and safety, cultivation, and possession for sale, and possibly conspiracy. We'll file with our district attorney. Yes. So cultivation of marijuana, possession for sale. We did locate guns. I don't believe anybody was charged with armed during commission of. They were charged with armed during commission of felony, and they should be on your staff sheet here.
A couple of interesting things.
There certainly was not a large amount of cash that was seized during this. During the, as your staff sheet shows, a total of $8,877 total was seized from seven different locations. And firearms, Mendocino had six firearms, and I do not have the total of firearms from Trinity or Humboldt County.
Humboldt County sees 16 firearms and over 50,000 rounds of ammunition. And should be indicated that we also received confiscated 50 caliber rounds of ammunition, which is a very large large round usually used for military operations.
And Trinity County recovered three firearms, and I don't have the description of those firearms at this time.
That's a tough one, to put a dollar value on the plants. I can tell you that these plants were not the plants that we saw in Laytonville, the 12 pounds of processed weed, but these were the, most of them, for the most part, were light deprivation plants. They were smaller plants than what we've seen before, but it's fair to say that each plant will produce 3 pounds of plant. I'd love for a grower to argue with me. Hold on 1 second, Jimmy, if somebody else has a question. Are there any other questions in the room?
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. Anybody else have a question? Yeah. Dan?
How many personnel took part in the area?
Mendocino County sent up, I believe we had 12 personnel. Is that correct? 12 law enforcement personnel plus support personnel. And Humboldt County, Mike, how many people did you have up there?
We had 8 to 10 on any given day.
And Bruce, how many?
We were only able to use 2.
And Lake County Sheriff's Office supplied 2 personnel also.
Okay. Okay. You have one more before we go to phone?
Would you be releasing the addresses of the parcels?
We are not going to be releasing the addresses. We are going to file our report for the district attorney. When this is all done, and I'm going to guess within 2 months there will be a compilation of all the activities. I don't know if we're going to do the addresses and the GPS coordinates for that. But there will be a police record of that, of course. Adrian?
How many prosecutions do you anticipate coming out of it, and will there be any charges on environmental crimes or strictly?
We expect 3 prosecutions with our 3 arrests, plus the addition of our investigations which are occurring. I'm not going to get into it. I'm certain that the investigations could lead to information that could support further arrests. As far as civil or environmental crimes, Lieutenant?
Yeah, so the environmental stuff is still the criminal under fishing game good. Like I said, I think it was 97 with 55 being related to stream bed alterations. Those, I'm not sure. I'm not in charge of the enforcement of the investigation of those violations. If there is a suspect and somebody that can be attached to those violations will happen.
Well, let's go to the phone.
I'll get you, Linda.
wait, you have to ask a question. Wait, your first question, please.
And some of the growers are saying that these types of plants are, they're smaller and they should not sound the same.
Let me get your question right. Some of the growers are saying that their these plants are smaller than normal, so they shouldn't count the plants.
No, they don't. They're not the same as the tree-like plants. They don't need much water.
I'll agree that they're not the same as a big plant, but the health and safety code clearly states what a marijuana plant is, and these plants met that criteria. So, okay, so let's go to the phone. Say who you are, please, who you represent, and get your question. Anybody on the phone have a question?
Yeah, Hunter Creswell of the Eureka Time Standard.
Okay.
I was just wondering how much money the operation cost in total.
We don't have those figures, but I hope to get it because we haven't seen all the overtime coming in and the staffing. But as I told KMUD, I expect to have those numbers at the end of our 2 month review when we put everything all together. The cost will clearly be stated in there.
And this is Keith Easthouse with The Independent in Garberville. What about the total number of people involved?
I can't explain that. Now, I'm not counting our dispatchers that work at the office and so forth, but at each one day, there would be 30 to 40 people on Island Mountain. Did that answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay. Any more questions on the phone?
Yes. Go ahead.
Hi, I've got a question. This is Jennifer Poole from Willits Weekly. Tom, you get on Google Earth, you look at Island Mountain, there's greenhouses everywhere. I was going to ask if you had, investigated all the greenhouses on the parcels. You already said you hadn't because there were some you didn't have search warrants for. Can anyone give me any kind of percentage about the percentage of greenhouses or the percentage of the total grow in the area that was eradicated? And I know that's a rough estimate.
I'm going to guess that the specific greenhouses themselves, probably 50% of the greenhouses were witnessed to. So that's telling you that there's a lot of greenhouses that we haven't gone to yet.
Okay, thanks.
Yes, Sheriff, Mark Scaramella, advertiser in Boonville. What's the story with black pipe? Is there a lot of black pipe, and is there some potential for tracking the sale of large quantities of black pipe and using it as an investigative tool?
Well, we haven't got to that point yet. You remember during 2011, we had Operation Cold War Press, where the Sheriff's Office worked with the Forest Service in removing the black pipe from the Mendocino National Forest. This week's operation was entirely on private property, and at this point, we're not going to expend public funds to remove it. I can't speak about the total number of black pipe, but, Mark, there have been several questions in law enforcement's arena regarding can we track the black pipe, and is there a need for black pipe to be serial numbered in the future? And it's certainly something that we're discussing.
Thank you. Thank you.
Next Senator. Go ahead. Okay. Any other questions on the phone? Okay. Any other follow-up questions in the room?
Is there an acreage number given? It's a
tough one. These are in 40-acre, 80-acre, and 160-acre parcels. So we don't have the total acreage unless a marijuana sergeant wanted to just guess. Let me say this, that it would be tough to fly that area and not see in a specific area at least every square mile. And there's a lot of square miles there. So, and some of them were very blatant. Some of them were clearly visible from the roads. Understanding what the law is. Now, some people understand that there's going to be an attempt to change the law next year. But I just want to remind people the laws haven't changed. And the same laws that were passed by the voters in 1996 are the laws that are on the books now.
After I do my more collaborative way rather than just rank them? Had any of them been made that maybe bring them more into compliance?
That's an interesting question. So could we have worked with some of the growers and brought them into compliance? Mendocino laws 9.31 are clearly on our website. And at least one of the growers that I know was
arrested. I found this out yesterday after it had been completed. Is a person that I know has attended many meetings where we're discussing the laws and we're discussing the environmental issues. Yet this grower still seemed person enough to do this at their location. So it's not like the information isn't out there. But I know that Sheriff Haney and Sheriff Downey do the same thing as I do, try to get the information out there so people will be in voluntary compliance. But many of these grows were absolutely in your face. Understanding that law enforcement is limited, our resources are limited, and we most likely would say once again this year, we'll get out there next year.
Hey, Tom?
Yes, Mike.
This is Mike Downey. I want to jump in on that. I understand the question about being in compliance. I can guarantee you that only one of the grow sites that we went to, I would even consider being remotely close to any compliance. I think what people need to realize and remember that cultivation of marijuana in the state of California, absent some type of 215 guideline, is a felony. And there's no way around that. And until law is changed, if that's the case, it's going to happen in California. This is where we are today. And it is a greed driven. Have a lot of people in our county being harmed by this, both in the physical realm. We've had a number of homicides in Humboldt County, and some of them are related to this industry. So I until there is some change in the law, compliance is kind of an obscure word at times. And we did walk away from one small grow that we went to. It was 40 plants. We felt that this person was in compliance with 215, and we did walk away from that. But none of these are remotely related to that compliance.
On a personal note, I want to thank the dozens and dozens of citizens who called the dispatch center and called my office during this to thank law enforcement for working on with Fish and Wildlife on the water issue. It's not a one-sided argument. There's people who know what's going on, and they've been waiting for law enforcement to get involved. And that's what happened this year.
Hey, yep.
Tom. Hold on
1 second. I thought I was just 2 minutes late. I had a question, but I'm wondering what it was like. Who was there when the raid first started? Were there people just camping? I heard
there
were. Why?
Who are you? Okay. And there were people camping, as in residents or law enforcement?
Residents or the people working on the farm.
I think that when the broadcast on KMUD during the first day happened, that KMUD felt it important to broadcast that law enforcement was going to the area. The area was somewhat voluntarily evacuated by the residents. So we didn't find many people there because apparently they were listening to the radio.
Sheriff Mark Scaramella, one more follow-up, if I could. Would you say that the bulk of the grows were by the property owners or by trespass grows?
These did not appear to be trespass grows at all. I don't know if the property owners were actually doing the grow, but if they most likely were either being grown by the landowner or with the landowner's permission.
Mm-hmm.
Adrian?
Mendocino has a significantly larger number of plants. You want to comment on, were you seeing different conditions in Mendocino versus Humboldt, or was it a different tactics that were taken in East County?
Mendocino had a helicopter working with us for several more days, and that certainly allows us to be a little bit more effective. Well, helicopter also worked in Trinity County quite a bit. So.
Hey, Tom, this is Linda Williams.
Hey, Linda.
Hey, did you guys get the Water Quality Control Board involved?
It's Chris Dukes, Fish and Wildlife. I'm unaware. I don't have the answer.
Okay, because they've been rather active in other counties. That's in also enforcing environmental laws related to marijuana growing.
Yeah, and Linda, they haven't. I'm not aware of the Water Resource Board actually going on enforcement activities by law enforcement. I know that Assemblyman Wood and I certainly had a conversation about this and the need to get the Water Resource Board out to site so they could actually see the damage which is being done. They were not there.
Yeah, they prosecuted a site in Shasta County and fined them about $297,000 about a week and a half ago.
Hello, this is Sims from the Lost Coast Outpost. I had a quick question. I'm sorry. Is that all right?
Okay, hold on. Just a second on the phone. Let me get Linda from the Press Democrat.
Okay.
I think it was Operation Fulmore Press. This was one of the largest we had. We've been to Island Mountain before, but it's usually for 2 days or so. And this was a full 4-day operation. So this was, I'm not aware of any operation we had last year, which is as big as this year. Okay, on the phone, go ahead again, please.
Thank you. It's Hank Sims from the Lost Coast Outpost. We had heard reports of water lines being slashed, about water found in the hills, in reservoirs or in bladders or tanks that had been spilled out onto the land. Can you verify or deny any of that?
Well, I can tell you that I spoke to our personnel. I talked to Sheriff Downey and Sheriff Haney, and we are not aware of anything. We've spoken with Fish and Wildlife, and we're not aware. However, and I say this very clearly, if somebody wants to come in and take a report, we will absolutely take a report, because law enforcement does not participate in this type of activity. Any other questions? Terry?
I wanted to, I have a question, but I first wanted to clarify just on Monday morning that we had reports that between 25 and 40 vehicles went up around 6 a.m., and nothing went out on KMUD that I'm aware of until after 9 a.m., so I just wanted to make that clarification, that people seem to be aware that something was happening right at 6 a.m. I think it was more that phone trees were in operation in that community, obviously, more than KMUD.
Well, KMUD also felt it necessary to broadcast that we were taking a chemical sprayer to the area, and what it turned out to be is potable water for law enforcement officers to use during the week. So I think the responsibility of the media is something that we should all look at.
We apologize.
Any more questions?
I wanted to ask about, there was a California EMA
right.
satellite trailer
right.
being pulled by an EOS truck. Could you explain what the satellite trailer is for?
Yes, the California Emergency Management Authority did provide communications for our unit up there, and they provide a satellite truck which allows data, even though it was somewhat broken, the data wasn't as good as we were hoping. This was an opportunity for them to work with law enforcement on this.
Do you expect the people that are being prosecuted to be taken to court or to be offered the restitution deal?
That's up to the attorney. Do you have a question?
Yeah, in your search warrants, were you able to find any bank account data or anything like that in your investigation?
I'm certainly not going to discuss what was found, but I feel very comfortable in with the manner the search warrants were served. We did locate indicia, which is known of the records of a person living there. So those investigations are continuing. Any other questions? Okay, thank you all very much.
All right.